Hi, this is Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
Welcome to The Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Seaman.
Today we have comedian and just really funny guy who always comes to my toast prattles. I gotta give him that. Mr. Ray Roberts, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. I do love the toast prattles.
Yes.
They're just fun to write.
Yeah, you're such a good guy. Like, our reverse roast battles, Ray came for two of them. The problem is, the person you got matched up with, I think, was it Brett Thomas one time, and who else?
It was Adam Janovac.
Okay.
And then Dylan Lust.
And both of those guys are great, too. So you lost both times.
Filled in for the Adam one,
okay.
So I had to just write something, and then me and Dylan have been buddies for almost 5 years now.
That's cool.
So we've done roast battles and stuff, so it was just now I have to be nice to this person, in joke form, when I usually just text them kissy faces. Oh yeah, we're adorable, so.
are you planning on coming out, because I know he's out here, are you planning to come visit him at all, or?
He's in Reno now.
Yeah.
But maybe, hopefully. I'm kind of in a spot. I had to take a step back last year. I'm saying it was planned, but it wasn't really, because I left a good job and then tried to work at a job where I'd make a whole bunch of money, but also be in Cleveland so I could do comedy more. And then it didn't work out. So then I was just doing comedy and had no money. And so now I'm at a more stable job that doesn't pay that great, but it gives me the chances to do that. So saving money has been a little weird to go out there.
Yeah, for sure. And that's completely understandable. I think he comes home, or he's coming home or something soon.
Yeah, and we're working on something. I don't think we're in the phase where we're announcing it yet, but we're working on a website.
Cool.
And writing and stuff like that together, so it's been nice. So especially with text messages and stuff like that, you can get away with it.
That's awesome. So we decided your default setting is childish.
Yes, childish. Ooh, childish is better than juvenile. That's
yes.
Even better.
Oh god, yeah. I just pulled that out of my ass. Look at this.
Hey, look at grandma, you forgot something and it turned out better.
I know, it's like serendipity.
When the lights turn on. That's how you know this is award nominated, is when the lights come on, we're killing it.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I think it helps too. We have good episodes when either of us are drunk and or high. Those episodes are good, but I often don't make any fucking sense. I just ramble, and then Elizabeth's like, "What the hell are you talking about?" And then she has to reel me in, and it's a whole thing.
Well, or she'll talk about how she's old. That's why I just called her grandma, because she'll be like, "I'm so old."
I'm technically old. I'm you and I are very similar in the fact that, I don't know, it's kind of reverse. I am actually old, you are not. But then I don't cough as much. So,
I just turned 30, and I thought I was gonna freak out or something. But I'm I feel like I'm finally just aging into my personality.
Yeah!
give me another 60 years, and I am there. People are gonna be like, "Oh, makes sense."
No, oh no, this is who you've always been. You just
I see.
Ray, how old are you?
I'm going to be 29 in 3 weeks from today.
So
I'm not the baby on the episode.
Yeah,
I should say 28,
Ray,
but it doesn't feel weird when it's that close. So
yeah, I know, right. I think I was saying 37 before, 2 months before I was 37. I don't know, just because I don't want to get too attached to the younger age, because then it feels like it's being ripped from my youth's being ripped from me when I actually do the day of turn that age.
Well, and going with the childish thing is for whatever reason, and I'm not saying I'm old or the people I hang out with are old, but I've always hung out with people who are like Anthony Savat, you guys know him. Know him, love him, hate him, it doesn't matter. But like he's 36, 37. Like I've always hung out with people that are like 10 years older than me. And I don't know. So maybe it's just I'm acting my age, but I'm around like real adults. In giant air quotes.
I find it fascinating because, yeah, like, Elizabeth's one of my closest friends, and she's almost, you know, she's 7 years younger than me, and that's how most of my friends are, like, between 7 and 10 years younger. But, I don't know, it becomes very weird when you hit, like, your late 20s and 30s because it all kind of blends. Like, you don't really change as dramatic, you know what I mean? That's my
opinion. I never noticed, like, a difference, like, when we were hanging out, like, unless it was who were we talking to on the podcast, and you guys were talking about those, like, big dog
Zach, yeah, stuff. Zach and I.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Zach Schildwalker, he's like 37 too, so occasionally when there's like pop culture references, that's when it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like the dog dad shirts? Like what, is that the one that you're talking about? So or what is it called?
Yeah. Big dog shirts, do you remember those at all?
Yeah, the ones were like, yeah, it was dads would wear them all the time. So I don't know, yeah.
There was big dog, and we were educating Elizabeth on co-ed naked, because she hadn't heard of those.
In all fairness, I think part of it, I went to Catholic school, so everyone wore uniforms.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
I didn't entail that.
I mean, Ray, do you know the co-ed naked shirts?
No, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, those are terrible. But Elizabeth did an amazing job of looking them up online and reading them off in a list, and it was hysterical.
Listen to the episode.
Sure. It was stupid. Yeah, they're basically
Jeff Foxworthy t-shirts.
Yeah, they're really bad dad jokes, basically. And like they're not even
Kirby.
There's like a lot of ways. Oh no, did you freeze? Oh, okay, you're still there. Good. Every once in a while, if someone holds really still when we're doing these Skype sessions, it's like, did we lose them?
Oh yeah,
they're gone. Oh no.
And I'm on my phone too, so like shit keeps popping up, and like I'm swiping it away. So it's. I don't have a computer because, like, I'm a troglodyte when it comes to shit like that. Yeah. So
this is my work computer. I don't own a computer, so like the only reason we're doing this is because I have my work computer. Well, last week we were supposed to record, but my work computer was at work, so I was like, I'm not driving to work to go get my work computer to record.
No, that's absurd.
Yeah, so especially in LA. Yeah. But so I don't know, like. We can do childish/juvenile. I mean, I don't know. Is there a difference between childish and juvenile? Let's discuss.
I think
childish sounds more whimsical.
But yeah, I think juvenile is probably more like spot on, just because like I don't know. I don't do like childish shit like play with Legos or like Legos are fun. Maybe that's the worst idea. I would play with Legos.
Yeah. Just kidding. I do that.
So maybe childish.
Made a liar out of me already.
But just like when people are taking something super seriously, like it's my favorite thing just to like be like, nah, you guys are stupid. Like it's not like finding like the levity in it of like, I got called out yesterday because of call out culture. It's super fun. But like, saying that I didn't care about like the Aunt Becky like college thing because like, that's what rich people are supposed to do is buy their children into college.
They just did it a really weird way, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's like they did it in a shitty way, but, like, that's how you're supposed, like, that's how George W. Bush, like, got into Yale and became president as his dad bought his way there. Like, so now we're mad about it because, like, some hot chick got into USC, which they didn't even get into, like, a real school. Like, it was USC. Yes. So now we're supposed to take it seriously, and it's a big cultural thing.
Yes.
And, yeah, so I did a show at Kent State, and I kind of brought it up, and I was like, I don't see why you guys are mad. They're not gunning for your spot at Kent State. Like, they want to go somewhere actually nice. And, like, all the people who got, there were only a couple people who got pissed at me. But it's like, one, you guys didn't go to college because you just didn't, but also they wouldn't have been in your way anyways. Like, they're going to rich people places, and that's why you get rich. It's not, like, a social thing.
Yep.
I don't know.
No, I think that that was really... It was such a fascinating thing to me because it had, like, layers, right? Like, there's these layers of, like, ha-ha, rich people got in trouble for doing something stupid, which, like, I get, especially right now. So, like, there's that element. There's the whole, like... nostalgia element of like Aunt Becky, you know, and that whole shit and all the easy like low-hanging fruit of the Full House jokes. And
well, that's my favorite part about it is they're like the one guy, he messaged me separately and was like, only white rich people could get away with this, not black rich people. And I was like, yeah, but white rich people didn't get away with it.
Exactly.
That's how we know about it. Like, exactly. The cops did their job. Like, we're, like, if anything, you guys should be pumped about this. Like,
yeah, well, that's like, I think my take, the only thing I posted about it was just, hey, if we're finally arresting rich people, I have some suggestions. Like, that was literally my take on it. Because, yeah, rich people get away with everything.
Every damn thing. And just, like, since when is pointing out obvious things, like, a bad thing? Like, I didn't even say anything. Like, I just said I didn't care. But, like, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to try to go get rich and have more money and buy my child into school. Like, right. That's what you're doing with it.
That's what capitalism. It's funny, like, and up until probably, I don't know if you found this, weirdly, the older I get, the more, and maybe it's just who I'm around more, just the way my life moves, but, like, I've become a lot more open-minded to things like socialism and just the fact that, like, at least capitalism is broken anyway, and it needs, like...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like, I used to be all about, like, because I think I was very much still indoctrinated into the idea that, like, anything outside of capitalism is dangerous and socialism is a dangerous slope into communism and, like, how those are the worst things. But when you really read about it, it's like, no, man, like, those are all, like, if it worked in an ideal way, yeah, then it would be either, you know, capitalism would be fantastic if it worked the way you're saying it should, but it doesn't, you know? So, yeah, no, I totally agree that it's... It's a weird thing to, I don't know. I think there's a lot of virtue signaling online too, where you adopt a, like, child molestation is wrong, and then you get a million likes, right? And it's like, oh, that's a controversial opinion. Like, what are your thoughts?
Right, everybody knows that.
Yeah, like, what are your thoughts on the common cold? Are you against that too? Like, I don't know, man.
Right. Like, and I'm not going to blow up the dude's spot, but he is he's originally from Pittsburgh. I used to, like, basically live with him in Kent, and now he lives out there and is, like, on this big crusade. And I don't want to blow up his name and his spot because I still like him as a person and I love him as a person. But also, you can't do what you're doing and then also have a rape joke recorded on comedy.
This wouldn't be the same dude who gave up his spot opening for Louis C.K., would it be?
No, okay. It's a completely different person. Okay, okay. No, I like John Dick Winters, and I've learned to appreciate how big of an asshole he is. And I think, and I don't feel bad saying that publicly if he listens, because I like somebody who's just 100% on that shit all the time. So, like, it's not a shtick, like, that's him. But no, like, he's just, I don't want to talk too much shit about him, because that's what, like, he kind of got upset saying that I was talking shit about him when I wasn't, but, like, there's, like, that big virtue signaling thing where I think a lot of people are going after more liberal-minded people because they're going to bend more and be like, all right, you're right, you win, like, maybe I'm the asshole, when, like, the people doing that are 100% wrong, and they're swinging at, like, an easy target instead of, like, doing something about the issue that they have a problem with. And I think that's more of a problem than, like, and I had a bit about it and it didn't work, so I kind of gave it up. But, like, when, like, 13 Nazis took over, like, a Georgia town, like, that's 13 people. Like, I can text 13 people and get more people there to, like, stop that in 15 minutes than they organized. And that got, like, 13 people organizing in a Georgia town made the New York Times. Like, I can get 20 people over at my house in an hour, and that's not going to make the New York Times, you know what I mean? And that's just, so everybody wants to, like, yes, you're a great person, but, like, where were you 10 years ago when this was all fomenting? Oh, you didn't have a Facebook to put out there that you're a good person. And it's just, it's fake, and it's disingenuous, and it's, like, to go back to the thing, like, yeah, you're a crusader, but, like, 3 years ago, before you moved and you got a Facebook following, you were telling rape jokes on camera and not apologizing for it. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, with the fact that technology has basically kind of, it's at this point, sort of established a foundation of, like, a 10-year window back. Like, I feel like those people do very much get caught in their own hypocrisy. Like, I actually disagreed with that firing of James Gunn from the Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'm glad he got his job back. But it's stuff like that where people can dig back far enough and see, like, oh, you know, you weren't always this person you say you are. But then there's the then there's the argument of, like, but that was 10 years ago. I'm definitely not the same person I was 10 years ago, so I don't still believe that shit. You know what I mean? So right. It becomes very, like, this journal of not just, like, you know, necessarily hypocrisy, but, like, how people grow and change, and can you really hold it against them if, you know. And I think, too, there's this thing about out here anyway, you know, everybody talks about being fake out here in LA, but it's not hard to see if you're at least even somewhat even remotely intuitive. It's not hard to tell when someone's like faking something for attention or approval versus like this is actually their belief system. So I found that with comedy anyway. I don't know if you find that with other comedians where you can tell like they're either virtue signaling or they, you know, they're actually, you know, trying to get better. They're trying to be a decent person.
And that's what, like, I got, and I'll put a person on blast publicly because fuck them, but, like, when left Cleveland, like, I threw a giant bitch fit. I threw a giant fit because people, like, that was the time where, like, people were, like, at, like, a really high level of, like, it was, like, Me Too before Me Too in Cleveland, and all these people were, like, throwing him going away shows. Why don't we ask everybody who knows him why he left Cleveland?
I've heard things, yes, for sure.
And it's like,
I don't even know who we're talking about.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing. Yeah.
And that's why I started hanging out in Cleveland again. It's like all those people who like defended him at least raping one person that I know of are either gone or have like got around to it. And like at that time, the closest anybody came to saying anything about it, they're like, I hope he gets famous so we can bring him down. It's like, why don't we knock him down and not support him now?
Yeah, to prevent anything else like that happening for the future.
Exactly. And that's why, like, we, like, and then it's like people will give, not me because I'm not a victim in it, but, like, they'll give other people who are kind of borderline or, like, knocking around the edges a little bit to see where the line is, they'll give them more shit than, like, their buddy who was nice to me at that point and never did anything like that to me, but I've heard the stories and it's like, no, but you gotta stop it. Like, it's not that hard.
Liz, welcome back. We're glad to have you. We missed you.
Hi, it got really deep when I was gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a very childish thing.
Not very childish. Guys.
I know, I was thinking about that.
I left on a completely different theme and default setting, and yeah. I feel like I've been had.
But you know how that show, this is how that show goes, right?
Like, oh, no, I just... I'm just an old lady, and then I was like, well, it's not working. I'm gonna turn it off and turn it back on again. Like, shuffles to the bedroom with slippers, like, all right, let's try the thingamabob.
I'm gonna have to ask my grandson what the Wi-Fi password is again.
That's okay.
Go get another AOL disc.
Throw it on the fridge.
AOL disc. Oh,
hey,
God.
Yeah. How do I log into my Hotmails?
It always makes me so
somebody
happy.
Somebody call in on the line while I'm on the internet.
Yeah. Come on, guys. I gotta get back on the internet.
Oh, someone's
get off the phone!
Someone's trying to call through.
Busy! God.
We were segueing because we were talking about call-out culture and how, like, you know... Yeah. I don't entirely remember how we segued, but I'm trying this new thing where I'm taking notes now so that I can remember how the hell we got on these conversations.
I think the call-out culture, I don't follow that shit, but I'm a person who, like, doesn't post shit. So in my mind, I'm like, well, don't post nothing. Won't be nothing. But people post shit. I don't care.
I mean, so let's tie this back a
little. I just try not to put my foot in my mouth at any occasion. And
well, that's
happen.
The other. That's the cool thing. I tried to get a podcast with my buddy about that. Is like where Facebook and Twitter get lost. Is like if you said something fucked up to somebody across from you, there's like that violence factor. Like if you say something that messed up, it can punch you in the face. And like so then you can just sit there and say all this mad shit with nothing. So when you go in public, like I've had somebody like threaten violence to me. And then I saw them, like, in the bar, and they're like, hey, man, that was just... And it's like, don't talk about shit if you're not going to back it up. Mm-hmm. Like, I came into the spot ready. Like, all right, I'm going to end up having to be... And I'm, like, a grown-ass man. I don't fight people. Like, I haven't been in a fight in 15 years. And I'm like, man, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to go to jail. Like, and he's just like, hey, I'm sorry. And it's like, well, don't do that. Like, now you ruined my night. And I'm all like,
yeah. Like, I was in a completely different headspace, sir.
I know.
Right, and now
no, what, are we going to hug it out?
And like, yeah, we're going to get pictures
together.
No,
we have to do this. He's saying, never mind. And you're like, no, I made up my mind.
I've been talking shit all day in the group.
I will not turn this car around.
I got these ladies all warmed up. They've been all ready to go all day. We can't just put them back to bed. Like, they're ready to go.
I made sure that my health insurance was in line. I have money.
Do you know how long I was on hold for? Like, fuck you. I will not have this have been a waste of time.
I put in for a personal day on Monday for court. Like, was that
right?
Oh, God. This is a
I put some money aside for the ticket. Yet. And
I didn't even
I called my girlfriend. I told her
blood on, like,
right. I wore all dark clothing to prevent stains.
Can we please write this sketch, like how much work a dude goes through to get ready to go beat the shit out of someone?
The responsible bar fighter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he knows they're gonna get in a fight when they see each other, and you just spend 2 weeks like working out and like putting more money in your HSA.
But also doing everything, like, super reluctantly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's
it. Yeah, I didn't want to do it, but, like, at a certain point, like, I mean, say what you will about toxic masculinity, but, like, you have to show out. Like, you can't have that. Like, you can't just show up and, like, say you're going to beat everybody's ass when somebody's being quite reasonable. And then just, like, be like, hey, I'm going to be reasonable in real life. Like, that's the problem.
People like to, they like to be shitheads on the internet.
So would you say that contributes to somewhat of, and I'm not trying to be, like, we got to talk about, like, but, I mean, it's true. Do you think the concept of, like, you know, fuck it, man, if you want to throw down, let's do this. Is that part of, like, a juvenile mindset? Or do you think, what is it about that?
It takes, that's where, like, I think juvenile mindset is, like, I to a certain point, I almost think it's fun that there's another adult, like, that's that fired up, ready to go physical on it. But then as soon as you, like, it takes a lot to get to that point where, like, oh, I'm actually going to have to do this. Like, maybe it's because I'm decent at shit-talking. Maybe it's because I don't, like, I'll get somebody riled up and then just, like, Irish goodbye. Like, I'll ghost. Like, I don't care.
Oh, that's one of my favorite, like, tactics. I sort of got, I learned that when I was a kid because my sister, so I've got three siblings. We're all pretty close in age. So we get along, but then we'd, like, fight a bunch. And my poor baby sister, her and I are so much alike. We'd end up butting heads all the time. And she started to use all my old comebacks on me. And I'm like, bitch, you can't win saying my own mind, man. So we both like to have the last word so much. Like, we will lose our minds if we don't get the last word. So then my tactic I started using with her when we were younger is I'd be like, I would build her up on purpose. Like, I'd be like, get her more and more and more angry. And then I'd be like, you know what, Megan? You're not even worth fighting with. And then I walk away, and literally anything she says doesn't matter because I already
won.
And I did it, and then I walked away because then all she can do is fume. Because there's what are you gonna do?
I almost equate it to
very strong, but
yeah, like if you're at the bar. I mean, I don't know if you guys like hitting on chicks at the bar. But, like, it's fun. But, like, hitting on them and getting, like, the thumbs up is almost as much fun as, like, sex. Like, it's, like, that fun part of, like, you're just like, oh, I win. Like, I already won. I don't even need to do the second half. Like, I already won. I got the thumbs up. That's the same thing with the fight is, like, oh, this guy's serious. Like, he's really that upset. And then I just get to be like, all right, I already won. Like, your night's ruined. I don't need to fight you and maybe hurt myself.
Well, that's like, I already won because I'm going to go let this go. And you're going to still be angry because you're an idiot. Yeah.
That's such a great point. That's such a great way to think about it, too. Because I think, and I don't know if a lot of people do this, where I lose my goddamn mind is the paradox of like, okay, like, online, no one ever wins, right? Like, no, there's very rarely a moment you see where, like, the conversation ends and there's, like, a clear winner and a clear loser. Or if there is, even then, and the person, like, does what you guys do, which is like, okay, I'm out, and you walk away, what drives me, what gets me every time, and maybe this is just by design, is the idea that the person comes back if you're done talking. Like, oh, yeah, you're done talking? Yeah, that's what I thought. You don't have anything else to say. Yeah. That makes me the winner. And I'm just like,
but then if you do, but if you walk away right, they look like such an idiot.
I know, and that's the part for me that I have such a hard time understanding, is like, if that person's still going and they're still, like, you know, doing this. Even at 37 years old, I'm still just like, like, I just want to come back in.
Like, that's the online part that's fucked up, is like, you have it's there forever. Like, you have unlimited time, especially like with the memories thing on Facebook. You can see that whole thing again, and then you can like hit you can go back to somebody, either you don't talk to them anymore, or like, you're like over it now and you're back to it. You can just hit it with an LOL, and then it starts all over again.
Yeah.
Like, it's there forever, where in real life, you have that argument, you either don't ever see that person again, or like, and I mean, it's happened with like some of my best friends. We'll get in a big argument because we're usually drunk, and then I'll call them the next day and be like, that was stupid, and they're like, yeah, whatever, like, let's hang out, and we'll make it up. And that's just how it's supposed to work. But like, you're getting in a fight with yourself at a certain point, like, talking at somebody else. Like, you're not. And that's what I wanted to do with my podcast, was like, bring them into the same room and make them have that argument in person and just see how different it is. Or
Side
on, you know what I mean?
Because I think on the internet too, like, you get another, like, an even further step of like disconnection, because most of the time they're like strangers. It's like somebody's weird, super conservative uncle. Or that's happened one time. But, or like other times there's, do you guys know so Lakewood on Facebook, they've got two community pages.
I've heard.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I've heard, yeah.
One of them is like run by like a government officials, actually, and it's like supposed to be like the official one. And then people get mad because they're paying people. They're like, oh, my taxes are going to you dicking around on Facebook. Like, what? And then, but then they'll do things like, no one can ask for recommendations on here. Like, well, isn't that the point of the half of the fucking thing? And then the other one was, like, made in response to that one, because if anyone said anything shitty about Lakewood on the government one, they delete it.
Oh, my God, that's like a fascist society sort of shit.
They made the other one, and I swear to God, 80% of it is people saying, hey, did you guys hear that noise? Did you guys hear that?
Was it a gunshot? Was it fireworks? That's
it. It was 3 a.m., and there was this big noise. Big noise. And then, or like, it's so funny to me. But otherwise, other than that, it's mostly like old white people trying to be racist and getting yelled at and going like, what?
Every community page.
I don't understand.
Freedom of speech.
Every single community page.
Oh my God.
I don't think there's a community page in existence that doesn't eventually fall into that format. Like, it's literally just fireworks or gunshots every time, like every time. And it's always fireworks. It's never gunshots.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, old
people. Anyone know a good plumber?
Old people.
Or, hey, do you think this blackface is okay?
Oh, I haven't seen that. That's new. I haven't seen that.
No, that happened around Halloween on the Lakewood page, because some guy at, like, the fucking puppy parade was dressed as, quote-unquote, Tiger Woods, like, full-on blackface. And I think that one made national news, and I'm like, way to go, guys!
But is it wrong because he got the shading wrong? Because that's a very hard to get.
It was so bad, and they're like, I don't understand. I like Tiger Woods, and I wanted to dress like him. And it's not black, but like, it's not bad because I like him and I wanted to dress. But then there was another one. It was the only time, and it's like the last time, I swear to God, that I get involved in one of those crazy Facebook fights, because there was a place down on Madison, and people do like those scarecrow things, you know, and someone had a giant paper mache Chief Wahoo head, and I don't care about arguing with people about it anymore. I think Chief Wahoo is racist as fuck, but
100%.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it, and I'm tired of people like, it makes me angry. So it got stolen, basically. Somebody ran off.
Well, back to
Wahoo head, and I was like, yeah, well, sorry people are stealing, but maybe don't be racist. And then this older woman, I don't know if she owned the store or whatever, she's, I don't know, this from Europe or somewhere, I think. And she's just like, no, it's not racist. He's smiling. He brings joy to people. Racist caricature, it's happy.
Oh my God.
And I'm like,
there's a South Park.
Dying to fire everybody. Like,
South Park episode where they were really against the flag because a black man was being hung from the, it was a picture of a black man being lynched on their flag. And they were like, oh no, this is terrible. We got to change the flag. Cause it's, you know, it's all political allegory to, you know, the rebel flag. And and so they're like, oh, we can't have this flag. And they're like, okay, what if we just change the flag? So they come back with the updated flag and it's the same flag, but the black guy is smiling. They're like, it's okay now. So I was like, oh my God, this is the exact same situation. Holy shit.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Where it started out is like, so like Jess was saying, I don't know if you were on this, if it was in the part where you weren't here, Liz, but like she was saying like, and I thought it was going to go in a completely different way. Like when you're saying that as the more you get older, the more you like look into socialism and stuff like that. And like they always say, like the older you get, the more conservative you get. But I don't think so. I just think that you have like real shit to do. So like, I don't have time to like I'm gonna, like that's what I do is I'll throw like a snarky comment somewhere just because like I'm gonna throw the grenade in the room and then run away just like to see what happens. And then because it's fun. And then, like, people want to lose their shit because they've got 7 hours a day to sit there on Facebook. And it's like, no, I'm just going to do this. It took me 30 seconds. I'm going to go somewhere. But, like, I also don't give a shit. You know, like, I'm older. So, like, if you want to have a racist Chief Wahoo thing, I hope it gets stolen. But I'm also not going to blow up your entire life because you're stupid.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's it. Like, it just turned into, like, a big face. Like, it was just, like, in the comments to the post. And I was like going and I was getting so upset. Like I was getting like, I don't understand how people can't see that it's racist. Like and then everyone's bullshit arguments about it. And now I'm like, I can't, I'm tired. I don't want
it is right now, unfortunately, because they just recently stopped using it. There's a lot of residual Chief Wahoo stuff around town.
Oh yeah.
And some that,
like on purpose, like, oh good. Make us stand on the wrong side of history.
I mean, so what I mean is stuff that maybe is not necessarily left up because it's on purpose, but because like someone and just, okay. So here's an example. I had a friend who had, I don't know if they're called switch plates or whatever. Like when you, that go over your light switch and
and
he had like a Chief Wahoo one in his house and I came over one time. I was like, oh, you fucking racist. And he was like, oh fuck, I didn't even know that was like, it's just been there, you know what I mean?
No, there's that, and there's that versus the people who are putting up flags that say keep the chief.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But well, here's the other thing that people forget, all those people are going to die and then it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? And it's just like, it was very refreshing since I did like that Kent State show. It was Thursday and I was like, man, like, and it made me like look at my material and be like, well, some of this stuff is like slightly problematic if you just read it on paper.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But like when you're doing it, like it's a completely different thing. So I was like a little worried about it just because like I don't want a hit piece by like some 20-year-old in like the Kent paper. Mm-hmm. And then I just did my jokes and they're like, oh, like it's honestly, I think it's our generation and a little bit older that are like, because we got fucked so hard by a lot of things. And like these, I don't want to call them kids because they're adults, but they don't give a shit. Like they've got like YouTube and Twitter and like there's like some stuff that they care about, but like They've got their gay friend who's been like out of the closet since they were 8, and they've got like their black neighbor that lived with them, and it's just like they didn't have to live through the 80s, 90s, early 2000s when we had that weird shit. Like now it's like a melting pot, and like they're just like, I don't get what everybody's pissed about. And like to be almost 30 or to be in your 30s, early 40s and be like, I don't see what everybody's pissed about. Everything's probably fine. Like, that seems white privilege-y, but, like, everything's going to be fine in 20 years when all these other fucks die who messed everything up.
We talked about that with Liz Blanc, because we were talking about common sense feminism, because that's the thing, like, you know, I feel like a really big reason why we have the president that we do right now is because older people voted the fuck out of him into office, you know? Or, like, they're scared. Mm-hmm. They're scared that, like, shit's changing, and our hope is that as we all get older, we start to care more and vote more, but also that they die so that they don't have to, like, vote in these old school people way of thinking.
Oh, and I have a political back. Like, I worked for the Ohio Democratic Party in 2014 as, like, a campaign manager. So, like, not to be, like, I'm liberaler than everybody else. But, like, it's, like, you, like, they, this is the best thing that could have happened for our country. Like, this is the shot across the bow to be, like, yo, like, one, democracy does work because, like, the dude won because there's a bunch of shitheads who are being, like, smushed down. Like, the deplorable thing is completely nonsense. Like, a bunch of people were just like, well, we'll show you, like, rich white lady. And then, like, then everybody doing this backlash, like, it's gonna come back around. It'll be perfectly fine. We'll be better for it, because now we have to talk to those, like, quote-unquote deplorable people, and we have to, like, we have to see that side, because it's out now. You can't just squash it down. And, like, I went into a big rabbit hole of, like, Oklahoma City bombing documentaries, like, when the Waco thing came out and all that other stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, there were real Nazi compounds in the U.S. in the 90s, and it was just, like, a known thing, like, in Oregon and, like, South, like, they were just there, like, militarized Nazi compounds. And now we got, like, yeah, it was real. Like, it was in this country 30 years ago. And, like, people are just like, where have all these Nazis come? It's like, bitch, they've always been here. Like, what?
They brought them here. It's not like...
And we smashed them into a corner, and what are you going to do when you're in a corner? You're going to swing. Like, you're not going to just sit there. You're going to organize. You're going to get it together. And then you're going to, like, go for it. Where now, like, it's just a big surprise because nobody's paying attention. And they're here, and we can deal with it. You know what I mean? And I would rather...
It's like the 17-year locusts, right? Like, they get buried underground for a while, but then all of a sudden, they're like, where the fuck did these things come from? They've been here the whole time.
Oh, God, they were fucking breeding the whole time! Jesus!
I'm not pro-Confederate, but, like, that guy with the Confederate flag on his truck, there's, like, 7 of them in the whole state of Ohio, and people want to, like, throw a fit about it, and it's like, no, we just know those 7 people are assholes. Nobody fucked them, so they can't breed. Like,
all they're doing, hopefully they're just marking themselves for extinction.
Yes!
Like,
oh my
I would
God.
Rather know, you know what I mean? Like, if my neighbor is racist, I want to know he's racist. I don't have to talk to him, I don't have to, like, support him, but I want to know, you know,
so
what I
much
mean?
Energy
Well, yeah, you don't have to dig. He's just advertising himself and who he is and how you're never going to associate with him just by that big fucking flag. Be happy that flag is there. Now you know what kind of person that guy is. You don't even have to...
Or even talk to... Like, you see those studies of, like, the black guy who goes in and wins over KKK people because they realize that, like, the poor white dude and the poor black dude have more in common than, like, they have...
With
Killer
Trump.
Mike has that great show on Netflix, like, where he just, like, goes in there and he's like, it's not like a black and white thing. Like, if you bring people around and you sit and you actually talk to these people, they're, like, actually reasonable people. They just get stuck in a cycle and, like, see that guy as the way out because they have, and not to pile on Hillary and white ladies, but, like, you have rich white lady in one corner and then, like, the orange fuck who wants to keep your, like, coal job intact. You're like, oh, well, I'm going to have to completely change my lifestyle for one person. Or I can keep my job with the other guy. And, like, who are you going to vote for? And that's, and it's not a surprise how we ended here.
Right. Exactly. No, I agree. And, yeah, I think to your point, like, I think Dave Chappelle said something similar in one of his stand-ups about this is, like, our country, like, our generation's version of Emmett Till, where Emmett Till was this kid who got hung and then beat and then drowned by a bunch of people back, you know, around the early 60s, late 50s. And his mom said, I want everybody to see a photo of his dead body so that they understand what's happening in the South right now. And that led to the civil rights movement, right? Like, it was this terrible fucking thing, but ultimately it led to, like, one of the best things to happen in our nation's history. And that's sort of the, I think, the spin I think a lot of people have tried to put faith into with this Trump thing, is that it's making us take stock in things that we took for granted for a really long time.
Which is, and it's perfect. Like, especially for, I mean, I'm a millennial. I mean, not to say that you're not just.
I'm on the cusp. Yeah, I think 1981 is the cusp. So I was 82. So I'm right on the cusp.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, but, like, they always like to say that millennials, like, are just, like we feel entitled to something. And I feel like the difference between entitlement and wanting what you're promised is two different things, or are two different things. Like, you study hard, you go to college, you get out, you have a really good job, and you're in a utopia. We have 9/11 when they're blowing up our fucking buildings. We have 08 when we're going right into college or just getting out of college and there's no jobs or houses. So then we get out and we're like, where's all this great shit we were promised?
And yeah, now but we have you to, guys like, just made it. Me spend so much money on school.
Right.
You said I had to. Why
you said
though?
I had to get a job. And then you get out and you're like, oh, everything's fucked up. We've all been lied to. So then we throw a fit about it because we have this whole, like, we bought into your narrative, and then yeah. you get out and you're like, oh no. Like,
or, you know, like, beautiful. Be more honest about what jobs there are before you go in. Like, don't just be like, you can be whatever you want. And be like, well, no, well, maybe you should figure out, like, what the market's going to look like. And, like, sure. just, like, think about who's always hiring or something. Not no, just, like, all your dreams.
Like, they started.
They make mad money.
Yeah. They started 16 an hour, have state benefits.
Crazy
and
benefits.
And I was like, yeah, I was like, I don't want to be
solid retirement.
I work for less than 16 an hour now. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, and I have to drive an hour there and back to do that, to have a Monday through Friday job. It's nonsense. Like, it's insanity. But we're the problem. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't make sense.
I think the one advantage I've found about sitting on the cusp, as we've talked about as being a millennial, is I have this... I at least can kind of see where, like, generational gaps happen. And what I do find, for me, uplifting and optimistic is this is an eternal problem as long as the earth has had people on it, is that, like, the older generation, and there's actually one of my favorite comics, what is it called? Webcomic name. You should look it up if you don't know it. But basically, like, one of the frames is just, like, this politician, like, let's make things easier for the kids. And everyone's like, yay. And then the kids grow up, and the next panel is just, we've made things too easy for the children. Now we must make them too hard. And it was like, no,
yeah, right.
Because that's literally what it is. Like, you want a better future for your children. You give it to them, and then you're like, oh, they've got it too easy now. Like, these fucking entitled
assholes.
And then
you assholes. Bitch
about it. Yeah, you fucking entitled assholes. And it's like, yeah, no, you worked to, like, make things better for us, and now you're pissed because things are better for us, and you're resenting the fact that they weren't as easy for you. And I catch myself doing it. Like, even after the whole Me Too thing, my immediate reaction was I had to put up with that bullshit, you know, all through my 20s, and, like, I didn't say shit about it. What makes you have the right? And then I think it was Larry Courtney was like, well, that's the point. Like, you don't want other people to have to put up with the bullshit. Like, and just because you did doesn't mean they should have
like,
to.
What you were saying is, like, you have that 10-year window to look back and be like, look at how fucked up it was 10 years ago. Look at how fucked up I was 10 years ago. Look at how much better the world is now, how much better I am now. Like, that's what you have, like, because, I mean, especially now, like, you get old enough and you look at your parents who, like, had everything together, and you look at them and you're just like, oh, no, they still have no idea what they're doing. And, like, so that's going to be the cool thing is, like, at some point, like, your kid's going to see, hopefully they listen to podcasts, or hopefully they see your shit if it's still around. And they're going to be like, oh, shit, mom and dad had no idea what the hell they were doing.
Yeah.
I'm not completely lost. And that's how you, like, build from it. It doesn't even have to be like that. I'm making it easier. They made it harder to, like, learn.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And I think, like, it's things have changed so dramatically even in just 10 years. Like, I graduated from college, it'll be 16 years ago. And when I graduated, like, I only had – now, my parents helped me pay interest, but I only had – $10,000 in debt because that's how cheap college was.
Geez.
But that's how cheap college was. That's
so
what I mean.
Jealous.
College was fucking cheap, but it was still it was that weird window where college was cheap, but you had to go because if you didn't have to go, I wouldn't have fucking gone. But my mom was like, no, you gotta fucking go to school. So then it changed. Like, I think it must have changed, like, right around the time I left, because now all my friends who are your guys' age are like, no, I have $50,000 in debt and I've been out of college for 10 goddamn years. You know what I mean? Like, so I think there is... There's a lot of unfortunate.
Could buy a house with my.
Yeah,
debt.
There's unfortunately a lot of shit that's in play between, like, the generational gap of just not understanding that, like, we have problems. They're just different. They're not the same as yours, and you know, you guys didn't go to college, period. so you don't have student loan debt. You don't understand how that works. You seem to think that you would have had a leg up if you went to college, but now everybody's going to college. So a college degree doesn't really mean as much as it used to, depending on what you got your degree in. And
yeah, market is saturated, man.
Yeah. I mean, I think, to me, my personal opinion is college now anymore is pretty much a scam for how much they charge you and for what little you get.
Well, and there's a...
Well, see, I mean, you can get scholarships and shit. Like, if you get a full ride, do what you want.
Yeah. That's true. Maybe that's what Aunt Becky's daughter was kind of getting away with, making it with no, but like, so, and that's, I like conspiracy theory stuff, but not like, I don't know, I don't, one, the moon's not real, but like, I don't think the earth is flat, whatever, so, but like, one of the big theories is like, since our generation isn't like, we'll live with our parents longer, we'll rent things, and like, how the banks are making money off of us, is like getting us in student loan debt because we don't really care about super nice cars or like houses anymore. Like we just want to live and go. So, so they get like, that's like the conspiracy theory. Like that's how the banks get you in to like the bank system now is student loan debt. Cause you're 17 when you sign up for your first one. You're just like, all right, like here's $50,000.
I had like no concept. I feel like I didn't have like a really solid concept of what I was signing up for. Because, like, I know I have to do this or I can't go to school. And everyone says I have to go to school, so I guess I have to do this.
Well, okay. I have a dental, I have a receptionist at a dental office and a guy who works for the city back home coaching me on finances to go to college, which neither one of them went to. And, like, they don't get, you know what I mean? And you're just like, it's the blind leading the blind, and nobody goes, like,
yeah, that's the thing, like, I can't even, it's not, like, I would never, like, blame my parents for that either, because back when,
like, they're doing
they didn't, my mom didn't go to college, and, like, she's fine, and so, like, she's working a good job and everything, and my dad, he was going to college, he was going to CSU, but in the 80s, you could work a part-time job, go to school and pay for it and still have money for your car insurance, for weekends, for gas,
back
and all
in my
that.
Day, a quarter would get you a trip downtown and a moon pie, and then you'd still have change left over.
A part-time job paid for college and more! I honestly, I think I, like, really thought about that for the first time, like, a week or two ago or something. I'm like, wait. Like, I always knew that's what he did, but hold on. Hold on.
So, I mean, when we're talking about, like, you know, how this all relates back, like, I mean, do you find...
There you go. Good job, Jess. Bring it back.
No, you're fine. I mean, do you find, like, does a juvenile perspective, it does sound like kind of like what I feel like I experienced, just having younger friends, but also still being relatively youngish, is it gives you a perspective into, like, the things that young people are sort of struggling with while you're also simultaneously becoming an adult. I mean, I don't know. What do you find advantageous about it?
I almost find it like a very good coping mechanism because like, as long as you can be like, all right, it's all nonsense anyways. Like I can take, like I made a joke, and I had a real hard time with it in like real life. Like my grandfather passed away on Thanksgiving last year. Hmm. And like, part of me was like, this is like, but, like, it sucks because, I mean, we didn't have a real tight relationship, but, like, part of me was like, oh, it's real fucked up that he's dead. I'll never see this person again. But also, like, I'll never remember the date that he died because he died on Thanksgiving, and that is a different day every year. And so, like, I made, like, a joke about it because, like, how ridiculous is it that, like, he ruined a holiday, but not even on purpose?
Yeah.
When he would do it by being an asshole when he was alive. Like, it's just... And so it, like, helps you cope with it a little bit more because you're like, that's just so funny. But, like, if I were to be serious about it, I'd be like, oh, man. Like, and it's just, it's a good coping mechanism. But it's also, every once in a while, it goes too far where, like, if I told my mom that, she'd be, like, pissed about it. But, like, but if I'm just sitting there, I'm just like, man, that's stupid funny. Just the fact that, like, that I'll never know the actual date. Because, like, why would you know what day Thanksgiving was in 2020?
That 1 year.
I think it it's required to be somewhat like childish or juvenile to be funny, just because like kids and juveniles, like they don't have like a deep sense of moral obligation, you know? They have to be more objective about things and just kind of be like, oh, this is happening, and not have like a lot of emotional attachment to it. They can make an observation and just kind of like how strange and mechanical something is.
They don't always understand the whole like concept.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a
useful. Well, that's what my therapist, the one time I tried to explain it to her, because I mean, I told her day one that like I do comedy. And she's just like, oh, like, she goes, and I have, like, anxiety and depression, like, all of us do. And she was like, it all makes sense. Like, because everybody who, like, has, like, that anxiety, like, their threshold for, like, anything is a lot easier to hit. So, like, you notice things more. And, like, a lot of times, like, either people will become, like, they'll go into, like, drugs or alcohol to, like, get rid of it. So, like, at least even just doing comedy or, like, looking at things a little differently or having snarky Facebook comments that can get you called out about, like, that's better than doing heroin.
Healthy, yeah, it's much healthier.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not perfect. It's not great, but it's not that bad.
I was wondering, you're saying your joke about your grandpa dying, because, like, I always joke about, so when my grandpa died, it was, like, 2 days after I was born, so I always joke, like, oh, I'm, like, the death counter for grandpa. Like, every time I'll be like, oh, how long has Hank been gone? Elizabeth, how old are you? It's grandpa's little death counter.
That's actually amazing.
I'm a great way to keep track of people dying.
It was
dying.
Whatever 2 days after Elizabeth's birthday was. So however.
Yeah. What is that? I'm up 30 years now. Look at that.
We were already in the hospital. It was very convenient.
Actually, I think it was two different hospitals, which is unfortunate.
Oh, that's completely terrible. Well, that's
right. It would have been so much more.
A room, like,
right?
Then you could just freak people out and like start channeling your grandfather's soul. Like, you could just say like, oh, when he died, it like rose up into your baby's body. And then all of a sudden, you start like you're holding a pipe and you're sitting there like,
yeah,
just like smoking like your pipe.
No wonder I grow up and now I'm like, I like a dark humor and everything.
It could be like when you get a dog after a kid dies or something, and they're like, oh, it's him reincarnated. Like,
yeah.
He was a person.
Like, nice, happy, sad times. Like, can you imagine, like, I feel bad when I think about, like, my family at that time. Like, I think about my dad. Like, oh my god, I just had my first daughter, and it's my second kid, and dad's dead. Like, what kind of emotional tornado is happening?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Inside your head. And he was only like 21.
Oh my god.
So like, I think about those people. I'm like, whew.
That's a whole can of
bullshit. You guys had it rough. Thank god I had no idea what was going on.
And that's where, like, when my grandpa, like, and since I worked for the Democrats, he hated it. Like, he was like a super big Trump guy, but he was also like senile. But like,
well, that's a lot of them.
Right. So, like, but I just, the first thing that I said, because I was at my mom's for Thanksgiving, because I'm originally from Toledo. So I went back home, we're sitting there, and like, we got the news that he finally passed, because it was like a long cancer thing. And so we're just sitting there, and I was like, well, you know, at least there's not like a black president right now. Like, you got to die happy. And just my mom looked at me like I just like
you slapped
harnessed his whole life. It's just like, no, he's the asshole.
No, I'm saying that to be funny. You get it? Like, no, he's the jerk, though.
Yeah, he's the jerk. I'm not the jerk.
I'm like, just reporting the news. Don't get mad at me. Like, I'm just pointing out the facts of the story.
You're going to try to say that Grandpa wasn't happy about that. Like, the dude who was in his camp was still in power. Okay. Yeah, Mom.
Yeah, you know the dude with the tan suit. He didn't like him very much. I'm not going to believe. I don't know.
Let's not pretend.
Yeah, just like looking at it differently. It helps, but it's also like, I mean, especially like in the professional world, like when I'm at work and like somebody's like, I don't know, like all the time somebody will be like, oh, well, like, this fucked up thing's happening. It's just like, all right, cool, whatever. Like, I don't care. I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to make fun of you for fucking up. But, like, and then we're just going to move on. Like, it's easier to move on, but it really gets in the way of people being like, you don't take anything seriously. It's like, is it really worth being taken seriously at the end of the day either? And
depends on
if you want to sound super cool, maybe nihilistic is the word.
Yeah. Oh! Switching it up again. We weren't childish, now we're like nihilistic. Like, this, your default setting has been growing up throughout the episode.
In 1 hour, we've gone from infancy to like fuck it all. Life's God is dead and life is
everyone's not grandpa dead. Is croaked.
Just fuck it
and
all.
And it's kind of funny but sad.
Well, I went to this museum a couple weeks ago. It's by this guy called Obvious Plant. You should look him up. He's amazing. He makes these toys, and I think what he does is he takes like old toys from like even at, like all of our childhoods. But he alters them. So like I don't know if you ever saw like the little doggy flashlight. There's like that big flashlight and there's like a puppy on it. And like you could use it as a flashlight.
Like it open.
He changed it into, he called it Karl Barks. And he like talks about how like he shines a light on communism and like all that kind of shit. So he had.
How underrated are puns though?
Like right? that's oh God, puns.
Don't talk to my dad, sir.
Yeah.
He thinks they're not. He thinks that they are beautiful.
They're a dad's way of life. Like if you're a dad and you don't like puns, then you're like an illegitimate father who like
seriously
just got.
This is a combo of my dad and my youngest sister will just fucking go to town, and then they just. They like are high-fiving each other, and they're like, it's like they're just like feeding the loop.
See, that's what I love. That was my, like, when I did stand up, I loved puns, and they would almost never land, and I didn't care. The pun in itself was enough to sustain
usually
me. I didn't need laughter
don't care.
To sustain me. I needed that pun. But what I was going to say is, like, you guys remember Baby Einstein?
Yeah.
So he had Baby Nietzsche. And it was like baby's first like nihilist sort of like, and it was like it was a picture of like this cartoon bird, and it was like the idea of suicide sustains me or like whatever, and I was like that's probably one of the greatest ones I saw like in his whole museum.
That's amazing.
Was just the nihilist thing. Are you did you just chug a Guinness? I just saw you like chugging
or a White Claw.
No, White Claw.
No. I poured it out. I poured it into the glass, and there's like a sip.
Okay, I was like, "Wow,
I was say poured it out like you poured one out for your homies.
Out for
like,
homies. Oh, yes, look at that!
That's
a
is this for you, Grandpa. Right in the rug.
Yeah.
Right in the rug.
It's a little too brown for his grandpa. He probably wants something. Yeah.
Coors Light. He's a big fan of the Nazis.
Hey, Ray Roberts, you've been an amazing guest. Thank you for coming on today.
Oh, I do my best. Thank you
this
so much.
This was really fun. So this will probably...
We went all over the place and got so serious.
Woo. But we had like, serious fun, though, you know? Like, it wasn't, like...
Oh, no! Sure. No.
That's the brand that I'm going for.
That's your brand.
That's what we're talking about. Like, sometimes my parents would try to yell at me, and I just have to try so hard not to laugh, because in my mind, like, you look so dumb right now, because you're so mad. And I was like, but if you laugh, you're just going to get beat for twice as long.
Yeah.
So...
That was a fun
I would
line.
Be the beater in that case because when people laugh at me when I'm mad, oh shit! That's why I can't.
Most
own
of the time I'm good at it, but I just sometimes like I'm like I can't take this seriously.
I can't own weapons because if I owned a weapon and somebody started laughing at me when I was mad, there would be death. Like there would just people would be dead, and it would just be that's
just a boil over.
So now they have this as evidence when they eventually do find my boyfriend's
body.
They
should maybe edit that part out.
Clubbed to death.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey, so this will probably air the end of this month or the beginning of April. Do you have anything you want to promote?
Yeah, beginning of April. Here, let me pull up my calendar since I'm on my phone.
Sure thing.
I'm doing a good job of like actually booking stuff. Good. So that's the one thing I think.
We love to book you. So anytime you want to be on a show, just hit us up.
Oh, yeah, perfect. The 6th, I have a show at the Garage Bar in Willoughby with the very funny and punny Tyler Ross, so that's good that we hit that. The 13th, I have a Record Store Day gig in Lima, Ohio, if anybody wants to go to that. And then just like the usual, I think I might be hosting, or no, I'm not hosting, but on April 1st, at the Water Street Tavern in Kent, Cliff Cash is going to be there, and he's one of my favorite people around the country, so I always make sure to go to that show.
That's awesome. Go check you out. Is there anywhere you have a social media presence that you want people to know about?
Yeah, friend me on Facebook, Ray Roberts. You can see the snarky things I get in trouble for. Ray Roberts on Twitter, and then who is Ray Roberts on Instagram.
Awesome, awesome. Elizabeth, do you have any social media?
I swear to God.
No?
Maybe. Okay. If you can find
she
it.
She might have a social media. It's kind of like a fun little Easter egg. You can go out and search for.
Yeah. Just go check and see if I've died of this bronchitis or whatever.
It's like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? But with Elizabeth's Twitter.
Yeah. Has she died of some, like, the consumption yet? I don't know.
Consumption.
Find out next time on Oregon.
Coughing up blood. We'll see how it goes. You can find both Elizabeth, I, and our partner Spider Jones at SX1 Entertainment on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We have April 7th at 7 p.m. Skidmark Garage, our comedy showcase Couch Gags, as well as a variety of other shows, which I don't ever remember when and where they are off the top of my head because I'm a selfish ass. I want to thank OK Pants for doing our logo, and I want to thank Above Below Entertainment for being our network. Okay, love you. Bye.